Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh. On the
radio. 30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
Welcome back. It is hour two of In This League right here on the Sports Grid. That's Bogman. I'm Welsh. I don't even know if we did that at the beginning of the show. Hopefully you guys know that. You can find us on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh, at Bogman Sports. Whole first hour, by the way, dedicated to talking about the Scott Fish Bowl. We did a lot about that. We did a live pick of mine on air. And the last segment, we actually got so heated that completely
you lost track of time.
And this is twice that's happened in this show. I'm usually much better about this. Twice I have completely lost track of time in where we were. And that happened there. And we were having, so if you missed any of it, go back and listen, because a nice heated debate about Raheem Mostert and the demands. And we're on polar opposite ends of this.
Yeah. And let me just explain my flippantness. It's not that. There's 0% chance that he gets traded. It's just, I think at the end of the day, like, and I look at all of this stuff as a bottom line of, am I going to move Raheem Mostert in my rankings right now? And I will not, because I don't see him not playing. I don't see him getting traded. So at the end of the day, I don't think that this is going to be an issue for fantasy. So I'm choosing not to care about it. If something happens, I'm not going to be like, whoa, he got traded. Oh my God, that's unbelievable. No, he demanded a trade. So if they work something out that they like, okay, I'll readjust from that point. But we have both said he has no leverage. And when a player has no leverage, there's just not a lot that they can do to do anything unless they're going to hold out. Now, players are more willing to hold out now than they have been in the past. But like I said, it's not like Le'Veon Bell was going for his second contract during his holdout. You know, plenty of these guys have made a bunch of money. They were very high picks. This is a dude that's been a free agent for, like you said, he's been on six different teams. So he's made the league minimum a bunch of times, which is still way more money than you and I make. But in terms of your NFL career, you got to take what's given to you right now. And he's not going to get that raise because he has no leverage. No, he's most likely not going to get traded. That, like, I would say it's more likely he gets traded than he gets his raise, because if the Niners are willing to say, you know what, take it to the media, we don't care, we're not giving you any more money, they're pretty locked in. They're entrenched in there not giving him a raise. So that he just is not getting that from them. So more likely he gets traded. But then trading in the NFL, as you know, because it annoys us that the trade deadline in the NFL is always so non-existent and nothing. It's so difficult. And, you know, nothing is happening this second right now as far as football goes. So, you know, if David Johnson tears his knee up before the season starts, then, yeah, go trade with the Texans. They'll probably give you 16 first-round picks. So do that. But, you know, I just don't see him getting moved right now. He has no leverage. He's probably just going to end up playing, and they're going to keep him in his current role that he's at. So at the end of the day, I don't see a lot of movement for Mostert in the NFL and in real life or in fantasy. So that's why I am being flippant about this. I know it's a bigger issue and it's more near and dear to you because it's a guy on your team.
It's not even about my team. I think it's silly to not adjust your value whatsoever because
you're going
to
move him.
Absolutely. I'm not saying I'm going
to
go crazy right now, but there are massive question marks. And I think
are you going to put Tevin Coleman ahead of him? Let's just do that.
Okay, so let me talk, since you just talked for 2 minutes and I couldn't say a word. I look at Raheem Mostert and I see a multitude of things. I see a guy that doesn't have a whole lot of carries under his belt for his entire career. He had 137 last year. His entire career, if I this wants to ever pull up, oh my God, they're giving me the whole thing. He has three, that's playoffs, 178 attempts under his belt for his career. So why is that important? Why do I care about that for a 27-year-old running back? Is he has a tiny bit of leverage in future contract negotiations for, yes, he is an older guy, but he's a player that has very little wear and tear. So there is a possibility that there is a contract to be had when this is up. So again, why is that important? Because he has such less wear and tear, and that is going to be a dividing point for him to negotiate. Why not possibly sit out? Why, I know it doesn't make sense, and why would he sit out? But I actually literally think he has his own personal leverage to justify sitting out because he has such little wear and tear, and he could sit around doing nothing for 2 years and come back and get a decent contract. So I think sitting out is an actual real possibility. I completely agree that he's more likely to be traded than he is to actually get a contract, because guess what? The last guy who said, hey, can I have some money? You're gone. Breida, gone. You're a Dolphin now. Traded him out of there because they just churn out these guys. And then the third point that opens my eyes a little bit into question is if the San Francisco 49ers are not going to listen to this, don't care about this. And we're not, we don't fully know that at this moment, just because, you know, this is simply the Niners are like, we're not going to pay you. And then they made it public. Mostert did. How committed are the 49ers to making him this workhorse that we're valuing him in at right now? He had this incredible, you know, playoff game versus the Packers last year. And he had a couple, I mean, he scored touchdowns. Like, actually, he only scored two touchdowns in the regular season last year. He only had 15 carries once in the entire season last year, and he went over 100 yards once. He's a guy, I was looking at receiving touchdowns. I'm sorry. Yeah, he had a touchdown in six straight games to end the season. He was a touchdown magnet. But is there a major question in the usage the 49ers would be actually willing to put Mostert in if he was the guy that they're like, we're going to do 15 to 20 carries a game and we'll let Coleman come in, blah, blah, blah. Then you'd need to make this right. You'd get this to the point where it's not a public situation. So for me, I wonder how much is he really going to be an option of 15 plus carries? And I'm not, and it looks less. It looks like a guy that if he misses time, if he holds out at all, or if he's just away from the club and comes back, the team is going to move on without him. And Tevin Coleman is a fine back. He's fine enough that he's followed Kyle Shanahan around. Devontae Freeman is out there, and they get Jerick McKinnon back. So it seems to me that Raheem Mostert is opening up an opportunity for the 49ers to find other avenues without him, whether he plays or doesn't hold out or whatever. It makes more questions to me. So it all comes back to full circle for me to say to you, Boggs, that I think whether you're super high on him or median on him, he takes a little bit of a hit because there's so many the only positive is if the 49ers open up the pocketbook to him. Then it's like, wow, there's a commitment. They really they are committed to this guy over Tevin Coleman and the rest of these guys. This is a huge sign. We're taking big steps forward. I think he's opening up a lot of opportunities where things could go wrong with him. So I'm not going to destroy his value. Like you said, you're totally correct on it. It shouldn't sound like he's garbage. He's poop now, blah, blah, blah. He just needs to go down a couple notches.
I completely disagree. I don't think that Kyle Shanahan is going to look at his contract while they're in the middle of a game or inserting a game plan and go, oh, well, he had a little pissy thing in the offseason, so let's give him eight less carries.
I'm saying the offseason.
That's exactly what you're saying, though. You're saying they're not going to commit to him because of his.
You're not listening to me. I said in the offseason.
I'm listening to everything you're saying, and it makes no sense.
Okay. All right. I said in the offseason, him not being there and being away from a team is a point for the 49ers to open up opportunity to look at other backs, to give more of a commitment to Tevin Coleman, to get Jerick McKinnon back in there. If they then see and find a comfortability with it and they're not so locked in to the future of being Raheem Mostert and everyone is building in 15 to 22 carries workhorse stuff because the 49ers run a whole lot, it's not about in-game him looking at the contract and being like, oh, yeah, he's holding out. What a dick. He's not doing that. It's about before the season starts, them making adjustments to the game plan and Raheem Mostert not being the guy that starts in games and then just goes back to 10 to 12 carries with the entire rotation.
Well, I don't think if he holds out, I don't think it's going to just be a camp thing. I think he's going to hold out. So I don't think I don't think he's going to miss camp at all either. I think he's going to have to go in and get his money, and you have to show up to work. So I do not think that he's going to hold out really at all. So I'm just, he's going to be installed from day one and do what he does. And I don't see him missing any time. You're right that this is, like, of course this is an issue, because we didn't know about this last week. By the way, we didn't know about this. This news literally came out about 3 minutes after we were done recording our podcast last week. It was so obnoxious. But I don't think he's going to miss any time at all. None. Because he has no leverage. So if he sits out, like, and this is a season to sit out. If you're going to miss one, miss it during the pandemic with all of the screwy stuff. So that is a possibility. So if we get to camp and he's not showing up, maybe then I start to lower him. I don't think he's missing any single time at all. I don't think he's missing anything. I think he shows up. I think they install him like they normally would. And because if you're not going to get this contract, if you're not going to get this little raise that you're asking from the Niners, you have to go and ball out and make them pay you next year. You got to put the work in and you got to make them pay you next year. So you got to go from day one. You got to be the best guy, because if they don't give you this raise, you don't show up to camp, and then they don't use you as much, no one is going to pay you. So that's why I don't think he has any leverage at all. And the Niners, they had to have known the situation was coming, because they could have just traded Mostert like they did Breida and gone with Breida. So if they have literally been talking about this for months and months, like he posted, then they knew what was going on here. They know that they don't want to trade him because they want to use him, because they could have told him to kick rocks and sent him off to Miami and gone with Breida. So it really depends on some behind the scenes stuff that we don't know. How long has this actually been going on and all that stuff? But I don't think he misses any time. And I think if he sits out any part of the season, it's really, really dumb, because running backs are the most replaceable asset on any football team. He's older for a back that is finally getting a run, and it would be really stupid for him to be a guy, like you said, that had less than 200 carries and start making these crazy demands. Yes, you're really good. Yes, I think he deserves more money and the Niners should just give it to him. But like you said, it's not my money, and the Niners are clearly saying that they're not going to. So I think he just needs to. I think he needs to grin and bear it, prove himself another year, and go get his money after that. Next year, after you have proven you're the best back, then they're going to have to pay you, because then you have real leverage.
If the team will allow it, if the team gives him the commitment, which I question. I think part of this comes from, I think you were wildly high on him. I'm looking at your ranks.
I am.
And people can get Bogman's ranks over at patreon.com/ITLArmy or inthisleague.com. Before this news, you have him higher than Clyde Edwards-Helaire, James Conner, Kareem Hunt, Jonathan Taylor, all players I would in an instant have him over. I would have had him over before this, but I don't even think it's remotely close. I think it's a tier change. You have a bigger tier here. It's actually a really interesting tier of like 11 running backs that are in there. But like, I'm saying with the concerns that are out there, I feel like you should be more concerned with how high you, I think some people have him at, like, you know, like low wide running back two, maybe, you know, right at the top of like the flex running back spot, because, you know, he's in a rotation. Like he's the most talented. Yeah. I totally agree. The way the guy hits open holes, you know, I'm talking so negatively about a person just because of this right now.
He just really proved himself in the playoffs to me. That's why. And the Niners run so much. It's what they do. They run and play defense, and he is the lead back there. So,
but it's also about the rotation of how Kyle Shanahan uses
I understand,
his running back, fresh legs.
But look, but I also have time. You know, like I said, the training camp isn't for another 17 days, and who knows if it's going to open on time. So if it opens on time and Mostert doesn't show up, then I'm going to start moving him down. But I like, because we're not there yet, I just, and these holdouts for NFL players rarely work unless you're a quarterback. They almost never work, or, you know, the teams, it gets real ugly and both sides wind up meeting in the middle. It's so rare to have a Lev Bell sit out for a full season. It's so rare to have. I mean, I think before Bell, it was Emmett Smith was the last time someone of a high priority like that miss games. So it's not a thing that happens a lot. this is the year. If it's going to happen, yes, I would understand it. But this is something for like Dalvin Cook. You know, Dalvin Cook has the leverage. That ball, that team runs the ball 8 million times. It's what their whole team is based off of. And he is the main guy. He has way better leverage than Mostert. So I still think he's the best back, and I love your Niners offense. I love the way it runs, and Kyle Shanahan's a genius. So I love the guy at the top there. I'm questionable on those rookies because, you know, we've talked about this before, the limited amount of time that they have to get in the system and plug it in and all that stuff. So I don't know, man. I'm going to be high on Mostert. And like I said, I have time. If you are concerned, if you're with the Welsh on this, and look, the Welsh's argument is good and smart. I'm not sitting here saying, you know, your points are invalid. But to me, this is not the way that I see it happening. So lower Mostert on your list if you're actually fearing this. I just right now I'm not. If we see tangible things like him not showing up to camp, you know, you can say you're not going to show up to camp all the time. Priest Holmes did it way back in the day, and then he showed up to camp. You know, they were interviewing him like, well, what's your problem with the Chiefs? He said, I want to get paid, you know. So we've seen this plenty of times with running backs, and you know, they're pissed off. They make their, they say their piece and then they show up to work. So, you know, I think he will. If he doesn't show up to camp, he doesn't show up to camp. So,
yeah, I mean, I think you and I look at this differently. You know, yours is very one, you're in a one stage place. You're like, if he holds out, that's the only thing. Where I think there are bigger questions that are overall attached maybe to Mostert and the philosophy of the 49ers and thinking about the investment that's put in on him. There is like when I look at ranks, I mean, you just did do a rank update, and we don't, you know, update these ranks like every, you know, 3 seconds and put them over on Patreon. There's specific
but I knew about the Mostert updates. Stuff when I did my update.
There is there's no chance on the planet I would be drafting him inside the top 25 right now with the things that are looming. Sure, he could get a contract. Sure, the 49ers could come back and be like, it's all good. We're going to figure this out. There's a million things that can work to the positive.
You going to move him back up if he shows up to camp?
If he shows up to camp? But see, it's relative to where I have him and where I don't. Like I'm saying, and this is what I was saying before, you and I look at this a little bit differently. I think this opens up a little bit more question and maybe the reality of thinking, how much is he really the workhorse in San Francisco? Is he a valuable? Absolutely. But, you know, he's still in a rotation, and he's in a rotation that's going to get Jerick McKinnon involved. And if the team isn't pressed enough that it's like, we got to get him out here, is he really going to go 15 plus carries? I think his value as a top 20 running back is a guy that's getting 15 to 20 carries. And I'm maybe starting to question more, and maybe it's just dumb of me to do it, that the commitment the 49ers would have on him plus the full commitment of him being a workhorse guy.
I don't think it's dumb,
guy.
but I also think, you know, that there is an argument, and this is where it gets dicey, because you just never know who or what they're thinking. But also, we're not going to pay him, run him into the ground. You know what I mean? A lot of people are saying that about Aaron Jones this year,
yeah,
because he comes up as a free agent after this year. So just run him into the ground because he's not going to be on your team.
Sometimes it's just risk reward. I look at Mostert as a situation that, like, at this moment, I would not be comfortable just like hoping things like work out and figure it out. Like, I think I would have to build in pushing him back a little bit. You're less worried about it. And it'll all, you know, we'll probably be in the exact same conversation, but in the exact same spot.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I love you.
Ready to party.
Welcome back. It's In This League right here on Sports Grid. That's Bogman. I'm Welsh. Shout out to our boy Barwich. Send a little bit of money jar money. A little bit of money.
I know.
Money.
Thank you, Barwich.
Yeah, shout out to him. Big shout out for that.
That's my doctor.
Yeah, oh, that's your Dr. Barwich. Yeah, Dr. I mean, Barwich. I was alluding to it, trying not to give your doctor's name out. You know, doctor patient. You know, confidentiality.
Well, I didn't say any of my stuff that I have, but I, you know, it's my HIPAA agreement with my doctor. But Dr. Barwich.
So, and I only dropped our little banner here, the Venmo and the PayPal, for like 3 seconds last time. I'm gonna leave it up a little bit longer, but there's only very limited people that
yeah anyways, so and it's all the people good that already pay us every month.
Yeah exactly. But shout out for that, Bogman. You can go eat what was your stupid restaurant you want to go eat at now?
Rokery.
You could do that. Yeah, that might pay for the delivery fee, right?
No, it's not from that. That place is so far from me, it wouldn't even pay for the delivery fee. But look, I could go get plenty. You know what saved me yesterday was I was telling the guys when I was doing the live stream with them, I'm like, I have not eaten today. And I was like, what's lazier? Is it lazier for me to stay at home and cook what I have here and not go to the grocery store because I don't want to take a shower? Or is it lazier to take a shower and then go pick something up to eat? Which is the lazier option? You tell me. Taking a shower because I don't want to go out, or taking a shower to go get something so I don't want to cook. Which is the lazier option?
The first one. By
not taking a shower?
Yeah, being like, I'm not going to take a shower. So I was just like, you know, not.
So I decided
anywhere.
To do that lazier option and order Domino's last night. And when I went to go and I was like, I was just kind of one of those, I can't afford this, but whatever, I don't want to move. And I went to go order Domino's, and their internet was down. So I got up, I took a shower, I went to, not only did I go to the grocery store, I bought stuff to eat for like the next couple weeks, so I don't have to go back to the grocery store. And I came home and did meal prep. I have like 3 meals in my fridge too. So that shower really woke me up and inspired me. So I got some stuff done yesterday, the Welsh. Very proud of myself.
I literally I don't have a day where I don't shower. Shower is my version of whatever, like your guys' coffee. Like I have energy drinks. I try not to have a whole bunch because they mess with me. Ooh, I almost cussed, actually. I almost got really, I could just feel it. You know when, like,
I can really use that. You Let's know talk when, like, more about Mostert.
No, but yeah. You know when, like, you don't have to be like, you know, and you catch yourself, but like, you know, you're so relaxed, you were about to, and I just felt it coming here, but like, you know, like the energy drinks will mess with me a little bit. So I'll have them. I probably have them more than I should. I don't have them on a everyday basis, but that's still probably way too much. But like where some people are like, I can't wake up without coffee. That's my shower. I don't feel right. And I don't feel like a day is in front of me until I shower. And I know so many other people
coffee
like
in
that.
The shower. By the way, on your mom's house the other day, Bert was talking about how he waits till midday to brush his teeth. That is the most disgusting thing I've ever heard a person do.
Yeah.
I've never heard of someone like, unless I immediately have to take a dump, brushing my teeth is the first thing I do, even before peeing when I wake
not
up.
Mine.
I wake up, brush my teeth, pee, and then go. That's what it has to be. Brush my teeth is number one seed on my wake up list.
I mean,
it's like I wake up and I'm like, I got to sit down for a little bit here. You know?
It's within the first, you know, the first things. Like I wake up, it's pee, immediately shower, and then brush my teeth. And then the whole process after the shower, you know, deodorant, brush, hair, all that stuff. It's all in there. There's no way I could possibly wait.
Well,
so,
Toph, maybe not the most disgusting thing I've ever seen, but the most disgusting routine in the morning that I've ever heard. How about that?
Well, the idea of just like, brushing once a day and like doing it like way later in the day. It's too much.
I brush my teeth like 4 times a day.
No, I should brush. I do 2, but I feel like I should do more.
2 is like the minimum, you know, that's the absolute minimum. But usually I shower most days, but, you know, quarantine. As you know, I'm not going to go out anywhere. I'm not even going to get fast food. So when I wake up, it's not the first thing I do. Then, you know, I might skip it for a day. So, but I mean, I think 2 days, as long as I've gone,
I feel like showering. A disgusting animal. Every single day I'm showering. I think the only day I didn't shower was when I went camping, and I also didn't poop. I didn't poop or shower.
I don't know how you 24 hours without taking a dump. There's just no way I could.
I'm not gonna.
Maybe if I didn't eat anything within those days, I could.
I ate stuff.
Not do that, but there's just no way. I can't hold it. It's just it's coming out, you know, one way or the other. So. Yuck.
All right, let's talk about a little bit of baseball. Lots of football talk. If you missed any of it, you can go catch it on demand. Just search in This League, the Sports Grid edition on your podcast, and you can catch up with any of the football talk. Only two segments to talk about baseball, but there was something relatively big, and it actually lines up really perfectly with a conversation that I had. A brand new Prospect One is out as everybody's listening to this, and I had my friend Matt Eddy from Baseball America on. And we had a discussion about all of the prospects on the 60 roster, teams. And we went divisionally that could potentially impact. You know, we're going through and I'm picking five prospects per division and we're going through the names. And one of the very first guys we talked about, it's just ironic that it ended up happening like this, was Joey Bart. And this was prior to the news I'm about to give you. And I felt very confident before this news that Joey Bart was already a guy that was going to get some impact. You know, the Giants drafted in the most recent MLB draft this guy named Patrick Bailey, who is the top defensive catcher, some big power, but he's a defensive guy. And everyone was like, wow, is that 3 years and you take catchers in the two of the first three rounds? What does that mean for Joey Bart? And Joey Bart is a massive offensive guy. He's more than good as a catcher. He's actually a pretty solid catcher. I have some video of him from the AFL throwing out some dudes. So he's solid, but he is all bat. That's the play. So him being invited to camp, how the Giants have been using their catchers, you know, they'll play them at first. Also, Brandon Belt is a guy that is in a walking boot right now. I start talking about on the episode that I think Joey Bart is a more sneaky-ish type of player that could actually get some run this year when I don't think people are putting him in there. Well, we are then introduced to some news later Thursday after I had recorded this that Buster Posey had not shown up to camp. We wake up Friday morning to the newest opted out player, and Buster Posey has opted out, and he had a video for it, or he did a video. He's opted out for the 2020 season. Fantastic player. I've loved watching over his career, but you know, as it happens with these elite catchers, you know, the Joe Mauer types and Buster Poseys, boy, when it falls off, it goes off hard.
And Posey was really, you know, after he snapped his leg, you know, and all that stuff on that slide into home, he's never really been the same. And they tried to move him over to first too, and he's a good fielder at first, but, you know, with a player like that, especially since his bat kind of came down, you want him to catch. So.
Yeah.
It sucks, but it's understandable because I guess him and his wife have been trying to adopt children for the last, 4 or 5 years, and it finally happened for them I think last week, or it's going to happen within the next week. I didn't have time before we started this today because it happened this morning to really read into it, but I read that
sucking Raheem Mostert's boots.
Yeah, yeah.
Doing that.
Exactly. So I'm too busy.
Did I ever tell you my Buster Posey story?
No, you didn't.
My the place that I work, there was a
Tim Paul.
I didn't know that was only Christian Walker.
Do you wear an orange shirt in front of him and tell him you love the Giants? Like the blue shirt.
The blue shirt would have been better if I would have worn in front of him. No, Christian Walker was a player that I inherently got hurt, and that was so great. Remember, he fell, and I'm like, man, I think I hurt him. And then the next day it was Christian Walker's got soreness and he's out. No, yeah. I was at, remember Paradise Bakery?
Yeah.
I don't know if everybody had a Paradise Bakery. Paradise Bakery was the tits. It was so good. And I loved it. No. I almost said the other word too, but I think that's okay. We're not on a terrestrial radio station.
I'm just asking the rules. I just need to know that I can say tits.
We're on a terrestrial radio station, which maybe could happen at some point soon. Probably stay away from words like that. But Paradise Bakery, they had the best cookies, too. I'm at a Paradise Bakery over at this place, the Esplanade.
Okay, so real quick, you know why I never went to Paradise Bakery?
Why?
Always a line. Always a line. Never not a line there.
Yeah, that's true. Only reason I went to Paradise Bakery, it was next to my work. And there was a line, but you pick one of the three places that you don't have to drive to, and that's why I go all the time. And I'd see athletes there from time to time because this was next door is this hotel that the baseball players and basketball players stay at. So, you know, I've told my Kobe Bryant story, you know, Amari Stoudemire, all those guys, and then baseball players would come through. I've told my Brian Wilson story. Remember, it was 110 degrees. He's walking and yeah, he's got his beanie on, full jeans, but he had his shirt opened up so you could see his tattoo, like the biggest D-bag on the planet. So we're at the Paradise Bakery and I'm with my boss and I look over and I'm starting to get up to go get a drink. And I look over at the, you know, the drink station and it's Buster Posey. And I recognize him because I'm the only one. And I go over and I say hi and everything like that. And I'm just like, hey, you know, fan. And I'm, you know, from the Bay Area, blah, blah, blah. You couldn't have been nicer. But what stood out to me was he was with his wife, who was his girlfriend, I think, at the time. And she was very pretty dressed over there. And Posey was wearing a suit. And it just stood out to me. I don't think or recall I've ever been around a player in
just came
a
back
public
from church on Tuesday.
Well, remember when I met Clayton Kershaw? He was just wearing like nappy ass jeans and or nappy ass shorts and a shirt.
Full spring training mode. Yeah,
he was in a full suit, and I was just like, "This is odd." And he couldn't have been a nicer guy. So it was just funny, like a very family. He was very like low key, super nice suit with his girlfriend, very pleasant. And it always stood out to me about Buster Posey. And I was actually thinking about that when this happened, but what happens here, Boggs? So in that conversation, you know, I'm building up Joey Bart. Cause I think, you know, this Joey Bart's bat is very exciting. Like we're talking, you know, if Adley Rutschman wasn't in the minor leagues, this would be the top catcher that you care about from an offensive perspective. He's about in the same general range. This is a 30 plus homer power guy that, after the draft happened, we're starting to think, well, this might be a guy that they moved to first base because of Patrick Bailey, or, you know, he'll just play between both because the Giants really like to do that. They like to like have a flexible catcher that can play multiple spots. If Belt's hurt, then they could put Posey there. Well, Belt and Posey might both be in question now. This opens up an incredible opportunity, I think, for Joey Bart, presuming the Giants don't go out and try to, you know, pick up a veteran, you know, like a guy. I think I saw somebody speculating a guy like Russell Martin, you know, maybe, you know, could maybe be a player that they go and look to sign. And, you know, there could be one of those guys. I really hope it's not. But right now, they're rocking Aramis Garcia and Joey Bart. And I think it's worth investing on Joey Bart right now because I think he can get dual eligibility this year. He could play some serious catcher and first base. I don't know if they're going to want to click all those clocks yet, but the Giants are also a team, like, even though they don't look like they should win, they'll try to win. They'll just say, screw it. We don't look like we're winning. If they can pull some games up, I think Joey Bart is a 2020 contributor, and I think people should be looking at drafting him.
Can you, the only reason I would push back against that at all is because...
Because the 49ers are going to sign him?
Yeah, the Niners are going to sign him. He's going to replace Mostert, clearly. So that's why you should lower Mostert on your rankings because they're going to sign
Joey Bart. Because of Joey Bart, yeah.
No, it's that, and I think one of the contributing factors to Posey not showing up this year has to be how bad the Giants are, and they're bad. Like they're really, really not good. So are you going to start the clock on Joey Bart this year? I know that, look, every team this year is going to be able to compete at least for a little bit, even the really crappy ones. Maybe not the Orioles, but even the Marlins have a shot. Like the only team worse than the Giants and Marlins are the Orioles. So just look, listen to this lineup. Your leadoff hitter is Brandon Crawford. Your two hole hitters, Evan Longoria. Your three hole hitter is Giraffe Neck Idiot Brandon Belt. Your cleanup is Pence, Mike Yastrzemski, Alex Dickerson, Mauricio Dubon. Rob Brantley, they have slated in a catcher on roster resource with Steven Duggar as your nine-hole hitter and, you know, Tyler Heineman as the backup catcher. Now, the backup catchers are garbage. So, you know, if you don't want to play Rob Brantley or Taylor Heineman or whoever these guys are, I completely understand that. I just think this is such a lost year for the Giants. I don't know if they want to pull up Joey Bart, but I understand. Coming from you, like you put Joey Bart in the lineup, he might be the best hitter immediately.
Yeah, no, I think he is the best hitter immediately. And what's interesting about it is they could pull a Nate Pearson thing where, you know, they wait 7 days so they get the extra year. If you already know he's going to be a major contributor next year, the only thing you care about is maybe getting extra year of control. So if you get an extra year of control by waiting 7 days, then Joey Bart is out there every day. It makes all the sense in the world. Right now, they have one active catcher, now that Buster Posey is out, on their 40-man roster, and it is Aramis Garcia. So you bring Joey Bart in there.
Resource are they show up pale because they're not on the roster yet. It's that Rob way? Brandt and Taylor Heineman. I don't even know who Taylor Heineman is. Sorry.
Yeah, they're nothing to consider. There's only two catchers.
Bags to the game last year, Taylor.
And there's only two catchers that they could even care about that are, I think they're even available in the minor leagues. Or I'm sorry, not in the minor leagues, in free agency, is Russell Martin, who's 37 years old, or Jonathan Lucroy. Both of those guys can play first base, so that's interesting that they could do. But Joey Bart is out there, and I think the worst case scenario is he's not on the active roster for the first week, and then he's there playing first and catcher for the rest of the season, so they have an extra year of control because he will be a contributor next year. So that's why I don't think it's in question. I think he's one of the guys that nobody's looking at and nobody cares about, because we're talking about Dylan Carlson and everything like that, that he is a contributor. And it happened to be, I felt this before Buster Posey had opted out for the season, and now I think it's blatantly obvious.
And I'm going to defer to you on minor leaguers, obviously. You know, you know much better than I do, but I'll ask you this. If he isn't there on, like, day eight, do you think, oh, Christ, they're probably not putting him in? Because, like, it's just so obvious you hold him out for that week to get that extra year or whatever. So if he doesn't show up on day eight, are you like, well, this probably ain't going to happen?
Nah, like, after, like, 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, okay. I would say that's a question mark. But they could sign a guy. I'm not sure that even still holds off and changes much if they were to sign Lucroy. But I'm investing, if I can, on Joey Bart this year because I think it's obvious and he will be a contributor next year. And there's no reason for them to not consider it. All right, got to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a major, major baseball player that is changing positions. And the guy isn't even like 23 years old. So don't go anywhere. One second.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says...
In this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league.
Oh. Welcome back, friendos. Final segment of Hour 2. Final segment with me, because our boy, Daddy-O, KC Bubba, coming up with Boggin. Did you see that?
Nope. Wrong. Dude, nope. He just had a baby. Why would he be...
Oh, yeah. Is it Lob? It's Lob.
It's Lob, yeah.
I'm sorry. Why did I think it was Bubba?
Well, Bubba, you know, when we normally record, I think is when his wife went into labor.
That's true. So,
you know why?
Because I think yesterday you and I were talking and you're like, hey, I'm in my recording with, and I just didn't pay attention to Lob. And I was thinking it was Bubba. Yeah. Brand new daddy-o, Bubba. So congrats to our boy.
Yes, congrats to him. And, hour three will be, John Lob. We'll talk about, the depressingness of college football, moving the schedule around. It looks like the state of Texas is going to just call off high school football, which, you know, look, if there's anything that people needed to know that COVID-19 is real and not a hoax, high school football being canceled in Texas is like the first sign of the apocalypse, I believe. So there's that. And then I'm going to do some player debates because I want to know where John stands on some players. So don't worry.
Yeah, you did say that.
Mostert is not in there.
So. No, no, I want him to be in there. I want to hear. I want to hear where Lob is as well on that. So John Lob coming up in hour three as I step aside and you guys will be doing that stuff. And just again, shout out to our boy, KC Bubba, brand new daddy-o, daddy-o KC Bubba. Congratulations. That's exciting. And, you know, you want to complain about sleep. He ain't sleeping for a while.
Yeah.
That's such a tropey thing too. Just like people like oh, I just had a baby. And instead of people being like, oh, congratulations, that's so exciting, they're like, whoa, get ready, pal. And it's just like, oh, I can do this on here.
Yeah.
I can do that. So kind of a big development. I don't know. I mean, you know, I guess at the end of the day, how really truly big is it? You can piece it's apart here.
Junior's gut is the big development. That's why he's moving over.
Yeah, I still want to see it. You were saying like he looks so fat, and I don't see.
He didn't look. You know, it's funny because they were showing like I have MLB Network up now, and like I see Ahmed Rosario working out. I see Pete Alonso, and they just all look like normal baseball players. And then they flash to Vlad, and it looks like he would be third Mike here. You know, so he would be on here with you, me, and Pablo Sandoval. Just that's the shape he's in. You know what I mean? Like he's just not in very good shape at all. So it's just like, man, most baseball players don't have this gut. It's like Pablo, Vlad, and Bartolo.
We're going to talk about that real quick. I'm completely diverting here, but I see everybody talking about it. What did Woj do that he had to make a public apology? Did you see this? Senator
said some stupid thing, and he said, F you. That was
did he really? Oh, okay, because he just made a whole big like I was disrespectful and made a regrettable mistake and blah 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 blah, and everyone's like, okay. So what we're talking about here is Mr. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., one of my favorites in all the minors or majors for the last couple years. It was announced on Friday, which is pretty it was pretty shocking to me just that it's already happened. I think it was, if you followed Vladimir and you just, you know, tea leaves and stuff like that, you would assume down the line Vladimir Guerrero was going to be a first baseman, especially with how he had been, you know, tracking his body. He doesn't want a DH. He wants to be on the field. He assumed we'd get there. I thought it might be 3 or 4 years down the line, but it was announced on Friday that Vladimir Guerrero is solely going to be focusing on first base and DH. And that's a pretty big move. You know, they did just draft Austin Martin, who is an awesome prospect. I really love Austin Martin out of Vanderbilt. This is a guy that's been a shortstop, third baseman. So, you know, where he was going to play, everybody had in question, but he was playing third base at Vanderbilt as well as outfield. And he's a big bat type of a player. He's exciting. And I look at this infield now, and I think of a future in the next couple of years of Kevin Biggio, Bichette, Austin Martin, and Vladimir Guerrero. And it's exciting. But what's so jumps out to me, and it's been like this, I just want to talk to team. I wish we could talk to the teams, the players, or anybody. You can't get around anybody anymore. Is like we're seeing Bobby Witt Jr. playing third base. This is a prospect, Bogman, that's 19 years old. He's played at Arizona rookie level, and the team was talking about him like he's going to be playing beside Adalberto Mondesi this season. They're saying, yeah, we're going to have them both on the field, and they're working him at third base. And it's like, already? Andrew Vaughn is working at third base, and he's a future first baseman. Spencer Torkelson drafted as a third baseman. These teams that are taking these players at these early ages and moving them around is so fascinating to me. So why the movement that's happening right now for Vlad to be first base, it jumps out to me. He's going to get multi-position eligible. He's going to be near the top, probably the very top of first baseman, you know, him, Freddie Freeman, Pete Alonso. And you got to wonder what doors it opens up across the board. But that's a pretty big development, Boggs, that he's not going to be the third baseman for the Blue Jays this year. He's going to go to first.
Well, and the potential weirdness, too, of, you know, for next year and the 2021 and beyond, if he doesn't play third base at all this year, is he still going to have third base next year because of this weird shortened season or not? You know, you would think no, but there's a possibility some of these platforms stick with. I mean, you know, Yahoo obviously will because, you know, well, he stepped on third base one time, so let's give him third base.
I disagree. I actually think if he doesn't play a game, or even if he plays only two or three at third base, I think he will solely be a first baseman next year.
You know what? I think those platforms are going to treat this year as a wash. So I think in ESPN and Yahoo, he'll get third base. Fantrax may be different because they're really hard staunch on playing the games, you know. So we'll see as far as that concerned. But like, I think on ESPN, like Jordan Alvarez had outfield qualifications for no reason at all.
I don't think they like to give just DH spots.
I get that. So
we'll, also Nick Solak was like second base on there, and that guy is, you know, he's not.
Yeah. So we'll see what some of these platforms do. But you know, it's funny because I think of Vlad and I think of his bad shape and everything, and it harkens back to a show we did with Ian Kahn last year, where we're talking about dynasty rankings and how he does them over at RotoWire and stuff. The former president of the United States, George Washington, of course, on AMC's Turn. But he had Vlad significantly lower in his rankings because not only did he think he was going to get pushed off of third because of his weight issues, but he thought it's going to shorten his career because, you know, if you're a big old fat guy carrying around all that weight and doing all of that movement, it's going to affect your knees negatively. Yeah. I know, and I barely move, that it affects.
Oh, so that's an interesting take. So you see this as like maybe more preemptive than it, because he can play third base. He's worked really hard on it.
Right.
I tell you this right now, Vladimir Guerrero is a more than capable third baseman. Yes. But it's interesting if you think of this as like a preemptive physical, like taking care of the body of this player long-term move.
I think that's part of it. I think the other part is, like you said, they drafted Austin Martin, who, you know, and they have Bo Bichette playing short already. So, you know, if you're going to have him play third, let's just get Vlad, you know, coached up and taught how to play first. And it's another one of those things where, you know, the Blue Jays could compete this year. Of course, they have great pieces, but I don't know that they are. And if they fall off quickly, it's like, well, let's just use this year as a learning year. So Vlad needs to go learn how to play first base because, you know, like Ron Washington said in Moneyball, it's easy. Tell him, Wash. It's incredibly hard. You know, it's not the easiest thing in the world to do. So I think some of these teams are going to use this year as a wash year, especially if they don't start out great.
So yeah, I think it's interesting you say that because I think it's the exact opposite. I think the Blue Jays are actually positioning themselves more than anything else to be a surprise competitive team. Like they would be somebody, if I were gambling, like let's say I'm going to pick three teams, you know, to put a couple bucks on. You're going to pick, you know, you're going to want to pick somebody if you're looking at dollars and I don't know what the FanDuel numbers look like for, you know, World Series numbers or anything like that. But, you know, maybe you're picking like, you know, the Dodgers and then, you know, they probably like plus 300. You're picking a middle tier team. Maybe you think a team like the Cardinals are going to be sneaky. And if I was looking for a bigger bet, I'm betting on the Toronto Blue Jays because I think their offense is enough of a spark that can carry. I don't love their rotation. I'm really hopeful that they can make a move or two, but I think Hyunjin Ryu at the very top and even Tanner Roark are more than serviceable. I think their bullpen behind Ken Giles is solid. And I think their offense is sneaky. I see them doing this more or less as like ultra competitive, that Travis Shaw is the better bet to be a third baseman this year and puts him in a better spot. So Vladimir holds up. So I see a lot of this as like, they're still positioned to win now. Not that they're like, you know, tanking out for the year and they're not going to do anything.
Yeah. And look, I'm not saying that they're definitely going to tank out. What I'm saying is this could be a move to say, hey, look, if we compete, moving Vlad over to first gives us our best lineup possible because we can have Martin play third, you know, and all that stuff. So we can have our best bats in the lineup. But also if, you know, we start out and we go 2-8 in the first 10 games, and we're way behind really quickly. Also, we can use this as a learning curve year for the other guys. So I don't know that they're going into it thinking, you know, we're going to suck anyway. I think they're going into it like, this is what we're going to do in our future, and it's not over 162 games, and we don't have to try to keep pace for a big chunk of the year. We're just going to know early, so why not just go this way right now? And I think you're going to see that from a bunch of teams, not just the Blue Jays.
It's possible. He would be the number four first baseman on my ranks list. I have him currently in the top 300 above Matt Olson, but he would still be below Alonso, Bellinger, and Freeman from a dynasty perspective. I don't really think the move warrants. I just don't think it warrants like, hey, he's now more valuable or less valuable. I mean, I actually think third base made him a little bit more valuable. So if you wanted to make a move, you could drop it down a little bit. Maybe even if you wanted to read into something, you could say, how concerned are they about, you know, him physically and being able to maintain his body. So that's something, you know, from a long-term bet you could question, but he would be the number two first baseman in dynasty for me. He would be behind Cody Bellinger, who
For me, I would also have him as number three. I didn't do dynasty rankings, but I did redraft rankings, and I would have him at number three, also behind Pete Alonso, but ahead of Goldie. And you got to realize also, you know, he's still going to qualify at third this year. So
where
you're going to get to use him at both spots.
Are you sure he's not four? Because don't you have Bellinger and Freeman also above?
No, I moved Freeman down. With Freeman, with COVID really adversely affecting him, any guys that it adversely affected, I am moving those guys down significantly.
In redraft. Yeah, I moved him
asymptomatic,
down.
You know, maybe a little, but not much. But since, you know, he's still at home recovering, I question whether he's going to be, back at the beginning of the season. So I did move Freddie Freeman down pretty good.
I only moved him down a bit, but if by the net, because we're doing Friday updates, by the way, on our Patreon, if you guys are interested. So there's a new update that just happened on Friday. There's going to be another one that's going to be dropping next Friday. If he hasn't shown up by Friday and there's still no like really great news, I will probably tank the actual value, because I think you're getting a discount right now between like the second and third round. But to your point, if he's not there, yeah, man, I'm looking like, I think there'd be a massive tank in value. Like we're talking into like the 50s where he would have to go. Like you'd have to really have an established team.
I'm just not taking Freeman this year. I'll just say that flat out. I will not have him on any of my teams. Yeah, I don't want those guys. I don't want Kingery either, even though Kingery is, completely, he says he's good to go, but he said he had a hard time walking up the stairs. And we just don't know how it's going to creep up and affect guys' long-term health yet. So
Blackman has me worried. Like Charlie Blackman.
Yeah, I moved Blackman down a lot too because he hasn't shown up to camp.
That's, you know, good on you for that, because I think I failed a little bit. I only moved him down a couple notches, if anything. And the more that I'm looking at my ranks and I just updated them, it's deserved he goes quite a bit further down because he hasn't even shown up yet. I guess I'm playing it a little bit like cautious-ish until next week. But at the same token, you know, like the same exact argument I made about Raheem Mostert and some of the questions around him. If I'm faced with like a fifth round pick right now, I don't know if I could take Blackman over Bryant or Springer or Eloy Jimenez or Nelson Cruz or anything like that.
I moved him down below Springer is where I moved Blackman. So I moved Starling Marte down too, because he hasn't shown up to camp. They said they know why he's not there. And, you know, an unfortunate part of this stuff, you know, you guys saw the story that his wife passed away in the off season. Yeah. She had a heart condition. So that could be part of it, but also he might have COVID and not be showing up because of that. But because I don't know if I'm drafting today, I don't want him on my team. So I moved him down to where, you know, I would probably not be getting him. I wouldn't have the option. And I did the same thing with Freeman. I did the same thing with Blackman and a couple other guys that have shown more than just asymptomatic symptoms when they do test positive.
It's actually a really tough spot too, because like I would not want to do a draft this weekend. And guess what?
Right.
We're doing a draft this weekend.
Multiple drafts this weekend. Yeah.
We're doing drafts this weekend. I would want to be doing that, but we're doing slow drafts. So we've got to start it this weekend. I would really be trying to do them next week because, you know, obviously it's a weekend before the season. You're going to have so much more information. You know, right now it looks really grim for investing in Freddie Freeman and Charlie Blackman. That could all change if Wednesday they both showed up.
Sean just brought up in the chat, like guys that have either recovered or, guys that, you know, have had it, not shown symptoms, so they can't get it again. I understand that thought process, but for like Kingery said it was going through hell, and he can say he's good to go, but I don't want to dabble in that. I don't know if it's going to reaffect them later or if he's going to miss a day here or there because he has soreness from playing every day, something. I don't want to invest in those guys. Asymptomatic where you get literally nothing, okay, fine. But if you're, you know, if you're out there not being able to show up because you're very sick, I don't want to mess with you this year. And it's just too short a season to be stashing guys on the injured list, especially when you have the potential for other guys to come down with it and have to go on your injured list.
Yeah.
So I'm just avoiding those little pitfalls wherever I can. That's all.
I think there is something to you could consider like, well, if a guy's already had it, you know, maybe that's good. But guy, we've seen people get it multiple times now. Like there's not an immunity that's built up enough. It's a really weird situation. And it's funny that Vladimir Guerrero kind of sparked some of this conversation here as he's changing positions. And we're seeing a lot of this. So pretty eventful couple days, you know, from Vlad changing spots. And, you know, this could change his future value for Dynasty. I really think next year he can only be a first baseman. So be on the watch out. And Joey Bart might have some value. But that's it for me. Hour two is in the books. John Lobb, not Casey Bubba, coming up. It is Lobb and Bogman in hour three. Some debate. So don't you guys go anywhere. More in this league coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.